God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly? Oh, we've just been joined. Philip and Eileen, we're just reading Psalm 82. I'll start again because I forgot where I was. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. So just in an impromptu way, we'll run through this psalm verse by verse very quickly and see what it has for us. First, we read that God stands in the congregation of the mighty and that he judges among the gods. What a strange phrase that is, that he judges among the gods. Well, of course, he stands in the congregation of the mighty. Of course, he stands above the congregation of the mighty. Any number of mighty men who might gather together, who today's great and powerful ones, the Jeff Bezos what are some of the others? The Facebook guy, what's his name?
Mark Zuckerberg.
And all these great captains of industry and the politicians, you know, the Joe Bidens and the Donald Trumps and whoever else you can think of. If they all stood together, you would think we have some of the greatest men on earth here, or you might not. But in any case, you have some of the most powerful men on earth. But God stands above all of them. When he stands in the congregation of the mighty, everybody has to take notice, and they have to bow before him. And that's what it means that he judges among the gods. The gods here are not gods like deities, but they are rulers of this earth. The people who later God says to them that they are gods. They occupy the place of gods, in a sense, in this world, because they have rule, they have sway over people. But God judges all of these people. You know, we have the phrases King of Kings and Lord of Lords that we also derive from the scriptures. And that's what God is talking about here. All the great and good in the earth are nothing against him.
Well, my version says instead of preside, he has as presides. In the great assembly.
Okay. Well, it amounts to the same thing. The judge, you might say, stands over the court when he presides. It certainly doesn't mean stands like a bodily posture, but it means his authority over the congregation. What version is that that you've got there? Is it the NIV?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there might be some other differences, of course, but hopefully the gist is the same in every case. And then we read, how long will you judge unjustly? The psalmist is talking to these gods with little g's. How long will they judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? This is something we see in the modern world, isn't it? The mighty people of today show partiality to the wicked. In fact, they usually are the wicked themselves. And they legislate for wickedness nowadays. And so the judges, the little gods, the rulers of the people today, they judge unjustly and they show partiality. And so the psalmist asks them, how long will they do this? Which is a totally hypothetical question. They'll do it as long as they can. And he says to them, defend the poor and the fatherless in verse 3. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. We read in the New Testament that pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is to visit the widows in their affliction. You know, he's just asking for true religion here. Deliver the poor and needy and free them from the hand of the wicked. The true religion, true impartiality in judgment, is in this. It's in doing right by those who can't, who don't have the strength to do it themselves. So we get this true concept of justice, where there isn't partiality, but the poor get justice just like the rich should, and they're to be freed from the hand of the wicked. And isn't that what Christ does for all of us? He frees us from the hand of the wicked. You know, the whole world lies in wickedness, as the authorized version says, or as other versions say, in the wicked one. This phrase that the world lies in the wicked one is, it's a bit like how the apostle who Jesus loved lay upon Jesus's breast. You know, he was close to Jesus. He drew up close and was in his embrace. And likewise, the world is in the embrace of the wicked one. They draw up close to the devil. And so our psalm says that we're to free the people, the afflicted and needy, from the hand of the wicked one. And that's our job as people of the gospel, to communicate the gospel and proclaim liberty to the captives. The gospel frees people from the hand of the wicked one. Verse 5 says, they do not know, nor do they understand. That's the poor and the needy. They don't know, they don't understand, they need to be told. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. If they're to be freed, they need to hear, they need to know and to understand. But for now, they walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are unstable. You know, the foundations are extremely unstable when you walk about in darkness. If you try and stand still in total darkness, you'll find that your balance kind of goes. You know, it's actually not that easy to stand perfectly still if you have no frames of reference. So you walk about in darkness, and the foundations of the earth become unstable. And how much more is that true spiritually? If we walk about in darkness spiritually, if the Lord is not the light of our lives, then the foundations of our world are extremely unstable. We might fall into any number of pits. So verse 6 says, I said, this is the Lord quoting now, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So he says, first you, that is the judges, the mighty people of the world. God says to them, you are gods. You have this elevated position over everybody else. But even you, who I'm calling gods with a little g, are children of the Most High God. You know, remember your place. I'm not calling you gods so you get a big head. I'm calling it so that you understand that you have a position of responsibility and authority to those who are under you. But you yourself are also a child of the Most High. And verse 7 says, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So men die and princes die. You know, that's one of the great levelers, isn't it, between the great and the not so great. They all die. Death comes for all of them. You know, we've talked about that a bit in looking at Ecclesiastes, that all go to the same place, as Solomon puts it, and that is to death and the grave. So you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Even these gods with a little g shall die, and they can't do anything to stop it. So verse 8 says, at last, we're talking to the Lord again. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. So the psalmist is asking, and we are asking God to judge the earth, as we know that he will do. And and was it not Moses to whom God said, who said to God, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Of course he will. God will do right. So when we ask God to judge the earth, we're asking in accordance with his divine will and plan. Abraham, excuse me. Yeah, I think you're right. when he was entreating for Sodom. Yes. And then it finishes with, "For you shall inherit all nations." So if that's still speaking to the Lord here, "Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations." That all the nations belong to God, but at some point he'll actually take them back. He's left them to their ways right now. He has a hand in them, but at some point he'll take them back and call all of them to account and call everyone to judgment. So God will inherit the nations in that sense, but Christ also will inherit the nations in the sense that people have come into his kingdom from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And so Christ will truly inherit the nations when he gathers his people together at the end of time. So there's quite a lot to take in, and even a small psalm like this, and we probably haven't done it justice in so short a time and in an impromptu